Coming up, 7 types of people that seriously irritate their bosses. And then I'll tell you a story of a jobless attorney with nearly $350,000 in debt and a record number of Americans working 2 full-time jobs. And I coach you up. Let's go. Coaching you to make more money and experience more meaning. I am Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Let's get you right to it. All right, I saw an article recently and I was having some fun reading it. You know, I read stuff all the time because I'm a man of the people. I'm your coach. I'm here for you. And they were talking about the types of traits that cause people problems at work. And they surveyed a bunch of managers and they had this big, giant, long list, right? And so I thought, well, that's interesting information. And I want to share this with the audience. But I also thought, yeah, you know what? This needs to be a little bit more fun. So I took all these traits and I kind of compiled them, tightened them, and I gave them personas. So these are 7 types of people, and I'm going to step on my toes and I'm probably going to step on your toes. So this is good. We'll have a little fun with this, but it's good awareness that we can all slip into these characters if we're not careful. All right, so here we go. 7 types of people that irritate their boss. And we're looking at this because we're going to go, hey, do I find myself having a tendency to slip into these characters? How much awareness do I have in these 7 characters? Am I one of them, 2 of them, 3 of them, 5 of them? And then also be looking when you hear these prototypes, or archetypes rather. How many of these people do I work closely with? Is my leader one of these people? Oh, and so this overall awareness, self-awareness, and then awareness of others can really help us manage difficult people. And we want to set ourselves up to always be aware so that we always have opportunities to grow. So here we go. No particular order, but I've listed them 1 through 7. The first one is Tardy Ted. Now, I have to be careful with this one because I am admittedly a disaster as it relates to losing track of time. I want us all to call ourselves out on this stuff. I can be on my way to a meeting and run into 3 different people and have miniature meetings and be 7 minutes late to a meeting. It's terrible. So I'm aware of it. I try to be better at it. But this is a person, we're not talking, but I'm at work, I'm doing my work. But this Tardy Ted is just like never on time just to show up to actual work, right? And this can be a huge irritant. It's like, dude, get there at the start of the day, right? Let's go. How about Super Sorry Sam? This is the person that over apologizes, right? And I'm talking like they'll apologize for something they don't even need to apologize for. This kind of sticks its head up. You know, if somebody's talking about something, well, man, this didn't perform the way we wanted to perform. Well, I'm sorry. Well, wait a second. You didn't do it. You weren't the reason. This is a collective team thing. We took a test. We tried something. We put it out there. It didn't work. You know? And by the way, I can be this guy too. Oh, boy. You know, you start apologizing for things you have nothing to do with. Well, I'm really sorry about that. Well, wait a second. Did you do anything wrong? No. Did you have anything to do with it at all? No. Well, then why are you sorry? You know? Super sorry. Because here's what happens. It comes, by the way, Tardy Ted is a disaster. There's no ill will here usually. Maybe they're burned out. Maybe they dread coming to the office. So that affects some of this. But this is not mean-spirited, Tardy Ted. Nor is Super Sorry Sam. Because Super Sorry Sam actually is an unhealthy people pleaser. That's all that is. A lot of insecurities as well. All right, how about Negative Neil? Number 3, Negative Neil. Oh, boy. Now, Negative Neil catches a lot of crap from the boss because at some point, it's like, would you shut up? There was a very famous skit on Saturday Night Live. They don't do it anymore. And some of you youngsters have watched the show. You've never seen it. But Amanda's shaking her head at me. She's thinking the same thing I'm thinking. It's Debbie Downer. And it was a fun skit. And it was, I believe the actress was Sherry O'Terry. And Sherry O'Terry, oh, sorry, Rachel Dratch, thank you. Oh, gosh, you bailed me out, thank you. Rachel Dratch. And so the skit went like this. I mean, everybody having a fun conversation, and no matter what positive, happy thing was said, Debbie Downer totally went the other direction, right? So it'd be like this. Ah, What a beautiful sunny day. Not a cloud in the sky. I mean, that's really positive. Debbie Downer would go, well, but the ozone is burning away and we're all going to burn up in about 20 years. It's that kind of thing, right? It's like you take something that's completely positive and good and take it contextually way over here and be negative. So negative Neil, let me tell you another one of ways that drives leaders crazy, negative Neil. You're in a meeting. And Alex, this is one of my personal pet peeves. So we're in a brainstorming meeting or we're concocting ideas and I've got an idea every 20 seconds. And Alex and Amanda both just handed each other a cigarette and they don't even smoke. They're both coping with this. They deal with this. And I got all these ideas. And negative Neil is the person that you haven't even unpacked the idea. You haven't even parsed it out. And negative Neil goes, well, that's probably not going to work. And drives me nuts. And I dig in. I dig in. Now I'm on a personal mission to prove negative Neil wrong. Because the point is negative Neil, it just shoots everything down. That risk averse. You know who negative Neil's cousin is? I just came up with this one on the fly. Risk averse Rick. So risk averse Rick and negative Neil love to hang out together. In fact, they usually sit together at lunch. They love to hang out. And they're just so negative all the time. All right, here's another one. How about Glory Hog Glenn? Oh, man, when you talk about negative Neil and Glory Hog Glenn, these are two of the most unlikable people, and bosses can't stand these clowns. Because Glory Hog Glenn is a combination of he lives in the past, right, with all of his glory stories, and then Glory Hog Glenn is always trying to suck up to the boss, to get an opportunity to turn it into something he could brag about, taking credit for just about everything, and it ends up backfiring, and the boss can't stand him, because if they give Glory Hog Glenn any praise at all, he ruins it, turns it into something to manipulate. All right, how about Lying Larry? I mean, nobody likes a liar, and Lying Larry is a guy, he's always lying to the boss. Boss can't get a straight answer out of him. He's always making stuff up. Hey, Larry, where's your TPS report? Well, it's over here. I'll email it to you. Doesn't email it. Larry, I thought you said you emailed it to me. Yeah, I can't find it. You can't find an email? Lying Larry. How about Anti-Change Chuck? Now I got to tell you, I don't like Anti-Change Chuck. People that are just so, I don't know, change, and they literally fight you on the smallest of changes. They'll fight you on the most common sense changes. Anti-change Chuck. And then I saved the most despicable person for last. Gossiping Gary. Gary just running everybody down, creating drama where drama doesn't exist. Oh, did you hear about this? And by the way, you looking for partnerships here? Watch how much Gossiping Gary and Lying Larry like to hang out. Just as I told you, like I added a character in here. The risk-averse Rick likes to hang out with negative Neil. Well, you'll also see Lying Larry and Gossiping Gary hanging out. See, Gossiping Gary, he's the one that creates all the drama. And then Lying Larry loves to spread it. He's the super spreader of all the garbage. Hey, are you one of these people from time to time? Do you work with some of these people? You need to be aware. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. So we are broadcasting on SiriusXM. We're on radio. We podcast each day's live show, and we're on YouTube Live. And what's fun about YouTube Live is we have a lot of people that are in the chat room. I call them the YouTube crazies. They're very loyal, and they're watching, and they comment. And so there are a couple comments on our last segment as I was identifying the type of people that drive their leaders, their managers, nuts. So... So Ralph Mendoza's is one of our top crazies. Ralph's there almost every day. He's one of my stalkers on Instagram. And Ralph said, I feel seen. He felt like he was risk averse Rick. And that was one I made up on the fly. By the way, if you've got some other fun characters in the office that we need to be aware of, email us, ask@kencoleman.com. Because you know what I just thought, started thinking about, Alex? We could take those characters and bring them back in future teaching, and now we've created these characters. Okay, Wizard Reel is watching live, and this is funny. He said, the negative Neil is one at my work. This person is worse than the glass is half empty, more like the glass has a hole on the bottom and it's draining out. So, like, this guy's taking negative to a whole nother level. I certainly understand that. And there are two reasons why I had some fun with those archetypes. Number one, you want to be careful not to become one of those negative archetypes. And then number two, don't hang around with those negative archetypes. Don't do it. Because I'm telling you, they'll drag you down. And you will. The more you spend time with those type of people, the more you begin to acclimate to that as a normal response, and then you begin to imitate. Ooh, that's good. Somebody write that down. When you're hanging around those people, you acclimate to them, and then you begin to imitate them because they wear off on you, and it's horrible. All right. Excited about a new initiative. We're calling it Ramsey Career Boost Certification. It's a 10-week certification to help you gain essential skills that you need to win at work. People skills, I'll be teaching that, project management, goal setting, communication, self-awareness, digital marketing, and sales. It's going to be a great cast. John Deloney's joining me there, my colleague, and several Ramsey Solutions experts who are executives in this building in all of those areas. This is the way to continually growing, and it is extremely affordable and an investment that is guaranteed to pay off for you if you apply what we teach you. Spots are limited, so don't wait. Go to RamseySolutions.com/boost. That's RamseySolutions.com/boost. All right, let's see. We got a couple of stories to get to in the news. Okay, this is a BusinessInsider.com article. A record number of Americans are holding two full-time jobs. This is according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, this is inflation-driven. It's not always inflation-driven, but that's the focus they're coming in from on this article, and a lot of people are doing this. But I would also tell you a lot of people that are trying to put their kids through school, a lot of people that are trying to pay off debt. And so you can't just put it all in this bucket of, well, inflation's up and it's forcing people to work two full-time jobs. Is that the case? Yes, but I'm going to break that down in a second. Is it inflation only? What's the culprit here? The full culprit here? Like, what is contributing to the circumstance where someone has to feel they got to work two full-time jobs? Now, it's important to point out that the Bureau of Labor Statistics defines a full-time position as more than 35 hours a week at one job. So you're talking about at least 70 hours a week for people that we're talking about here. And that is, I'm tired, I'm exhausted thinking about 70 hours a week. That's a lot of hours. Okay, that's extraordinary. The numbers are 426,000 Americans work that much in the month of June, compared to 308,000 in February of 2020. So that number's up over a two-year period. So here's the point that I want to address in bringing this up, and I hope it'll encourage some of you. I'm going to challenge some of you. And some of your friends and family members are in this boat. So here's the reality. There's no question that gas and groceries are up. Let's look at two things that hit people in their budgets that are very real. Gasoline, I filled up yesterday. I got a very fuel-efficient car. I think I get like 29 miles to the gallon in my car. Well, I think it's $4.30 a gallon, I think is what it was. $77 for me to fill up yesterday. Good heavens, man. That's what it used to cost to fill up my wife's Suburban. Okay? So let's say you're doing that four times a month. Some people are doing way more than that. I'm fortunate. My wife and I are fortunate. We don't drive a lot. Everything's local for us. But, you know, if you're driving 30, 45 minutes to work every day, depends on how many times you fill up, that's real money. Okay? Groceries. The cost of groceries gone up big time. Okay? So then you talk about, you know, adding, in some cases, 15, 18, 20% to your grocery bill and gas. That affects people in real life. So I understand inflation is real. However, we are talking about essentials there. Gasoline to drive and food to eat. Okay. Even in an inflationary period where groceries go up, you can still buy in bulk. You can get creative with meal planning and you can dial back on eating out. And we're seeing a lot of consumers doing that. Here's the point I want to make. You can't throw everything into the, oh my gosh, inflation is up. I hate the government. And I can't keep up. Woe is me. I'm working 70 hours a week just to pay for gas and groceries. Folks, that's an incomplete narrative and it's false. One would not need to work an additional 35 hours a week to pay for the increase in gas and groceries. That's just basic math. You don't have to do that. So while increasing income is good and we are seeing wages at an all-time high, and I don't see any slowdown in the increase in wages. So there's another factor here, and we just have to be honest. The other factor is, you're going to have to make some cuts. And that's weird psychologically when you go, wait a second, I'm making more than ever. Why should I have to cut anything? Come on, folks. It's math. Next story. Steve, love this last name, by the way. I love taking on tough names. Steve Petterzani. Thought that going to law school would set him up for a comfortable future. Of course he did. Steve Petterzani then made the decision that law school was the best decision for him. Well, now Steve is buried in $347,000 worth of student debt, and he can't find a job. More on that in a second. So here are the facts in the story. There's some things we don't know. After graduating from law school in 2017, Petterzani today now has $347,000 in student debt, and it keeps growing because he took out a graduate plus loan. You. To attend Seattle University School of Law. It allowed him to cover the full cost of tuition, but his fiance had medical complications, and as a result, that delayed him taking the bar exam. I don't know what her complications were. And their collective incomes took a major hit since his fiance could not work. But again, they're not married. And I understand he loves her, but like we're acting like we're married, but we're not married. So she has health issues. God bless her. I don't know what those are. The article does not stipulate. But the bottom line is like, okay, so that for whatever reason, he didn't feel like he could take the bar. Maybe he had to care for her. He was her only caregiver. I don't know. But he's got a higher interest rate with the graduate plus loan, 7.54%. And those are not likely to be included in President Joe Biden's relief plans, which, by the way, are just plans. I don't think Biden's going to do jack squat. But even if he does, they're expected to include $10,000 in student loan forgiveness for undergraduate bars making under $150,000. Now, this guy's in that situation. He's not making that. But $10,000 is like spitting in the wind for $347,000 worth of debt. So this goes on. This guy's like, man, we need some help. But 70% of law students, according to the NEA, leave school with debt, averaging $138,500. Here's the deal, folks. You can go get work. This guy needs to go get work. Do not wait for the government to pay it off. They're not going to. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. So we started off the show today with a fun little segment on the types of people that irritate their leaders. We got some fun feedback in the YouTube chat room we'll get to in just a second. But first, I want to make sure that you are aware of my friends at ZipRecruiter, one of the top hiring sites in the world. And it is a free service to you. Companies are paying them. So this is a free service for you, and it actually works. A little testimonial from Gabriella, one of our listeners. With Ken's advice, I went to ZipRecruiter last month. I received a call from a recruiter within days. I had two interviews with a well-known company, and I got the job. Listen for more here. I enjoy it, and My starting salary is 45% more than my current salary, and I receive a very generous benefits package. Way to go, Gabriella. Thank you, my dear friends at ZipRecruiter, for helping out Gabriella. They'll help you too. I wouldn't put all their eggs in their basket. Okay, you got strategies that I teach and recommend. But I don't know why you wouldn't sign up with them, because again, it's a free service to you and they're working for you while you're living your life. Okay, so go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ken, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. For those of you watching, I got distracted in the very end of that read because the most darling, precious little girl in the cutest summer dress just walked up to the glass, and she is an absolute doll baby. And I got a little girl, so I'm a sucker for the princess. And so what a sweetie. I mean, I wish you could see her. Hair is like blonde. She's got the pacifier in, smiling at me. I'm completely useless right now. I'm completely wrapped around her tiny finger. So always fun. By the way, that's a reminder. You can come watch the show live in the studio lobby of Ramsey Solutions. All right, let's go to Kaysen, who joins us on the line in Summerfield, Florida. Kaysen, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey Ken, it's an honor to be on here. I guess we got two Florida people here today.
Oh yeah, man, we get them from all around the world. What's going on?
So my main question is, I feel like I've got a ton of different interests as far as careers go, and I've done pretty much any kind of assessment and interviews and making lists that you can think of, and I just can't figure out how to narrow it down and kind of nail down one career.
Well, since you've done every assessment there is, I'm assuming you've done the Ken Coleman Get Clear assessment.
I actually have, thanks to your YouTube crazies. They prompted me to do that.
The YouTube crazy. Love those people. They're fantastic. Okay, so do you have your purpose statement in front of you or close by?
I do. I wrote it down because I knew you were going
to
ask.
All right, my man. Read it to me slowly because I got to write these things down. So we got top three talents. What do we got?
So it says, I was created to use my talents of compassion, execution, and discernment.
Okay.
To perform my passion of caregiving, advocating, and protecting. To accomplish my mission of service.
Good. All right. That's all I need. Okay. So, and when you took it and you got your results back, and you, and even in just those moments where you read it to me, does that feel very much, I know it's high level and it didn't give you an actual job because no assessment can do that. But when you read that, do you feel that? Do you go, man, that's absolutely spot on. That's me.
Yeah. Honestly, even with the job listing that I gave, a lot of those are jobs that I've thought about as well.
Okay, so yeah, we do, in that assessment, we give you a suggested place to look. We call them professional possibilities. But again, even with those suggestions, you want to match them up with your purpose statement. And so this purpose statement you just read, Kaysen, is essentially a dream job description. If you are spending most of your day using your top talents of compassion, execution, and discernment to do the work of caregiving, advocating, and protecting, to generate or produce the results of serving people, that's a dream job. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so that, don't tell me that you don't have any ideas that align with that purpose statement. Do you have any ideas?
I think I have too many ideas is probably.
Oh, I thought so. Okay, so give me the top two or three. The ones that, I don't want to hear every idea, but I think there's a couple that are probably higher up the list than most. Yes or no?
Yes.
What are they? Give me the top two or three.
Like specific, like healthcare, a lot of healthcare jobs.
All right. Come on now. Come on.
Nursing.
That's just an option. We're ideating right now. Okay. What's number two?
Pediatrician.
Interesting. Okay. What's another one?
Paramedic.
Okay. So the top three are all in healthcare. And let's just go back and let's just see if that lines up. Well, the things you do best, you just naturally have a huge heart for people. That's compassion. Okay. You're also a getter done guy. Execution is one of your top talents. And discernment, the ability to effectively read people or read a situation and be able to decide. See, discernment isn't just the analyzing, it's also the deciding. Would you agree with that definition of discernment?
Yes, sir.
And that sounds like you, huh?
I think so.
All right, good. So now the work you love doing is caregiving. That's obviously a match. Advocating. Many times doctors have to advocate for patients, right? Advocate with healthcare. Advocate on their behalf. How many times have you been in a situation where you know a doctor had to advocate to a patient for a patient? Hey, you got to stop eating.
Yeah,
you got to stop eating red meat. You know, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to lower your stress, whatever that is. And then the protecting is really, I mean, it's you are pulled to healthcare because you love doing something to protect people. It don't matter what it is. There's a lot of things we could put under the protecting bucket or in the bucket, but protecting them from disease, right? Protecting them from major health patterns that could cause life-affecting issues. That's check, check, check. And then finally, your mission or result, what really motivates you is serving people. So what we just did is an exercise. We take some ideas that you have, which don't come out of the blue. You aren't crazy. And we go, okay, does this align? So the ideas are filtered from the heart to the brain. So the heart wants to do something. You want to help people. You want to be in the people business.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, we know that. And so the ideas formulate. You shared the ideas. And so what do? We then use our logic to compare to our purpose sentence. That's why I created the assessment. I wanted to give people something so simple that allowed you to take any idea, any profession, and filter it and go, oh, does this match up? So the question becomes, is nursing in your sweet spot, yes or no?
Yes.
Is pediatrician in your sweet spot, yes or no?
Yes.
Is, what was the last one? I wrote my own writing down. I can't even read it.
Paramedic.
Oh, paramedic. Yeah. Can't even read my own chicken scratch. is paramedic in your sweet spot?
Yes.
Answer is yes. So now what do? And by the way, this can include 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 30 more different ideas. Run them through. And if the answer is they are in your sweet spot, which is the analogy I use, where you can use what you do best, talent, to do work you love, passion, to produce results that matter to you, mission, now we got to go do further research. So I want you hanging out with a paramedic or 2 or 3. I want you hanging out with a pediatrician or 2 or 3. I want you hanging out with a nurse or 2 or 3 in different types of nursing. It's all different kinds of nurses. ER nurse, right? Operating room nurse. Nurses in convalescent homes. You know, you just start doing the research. And it's what I call the proximity principle. In order to do what you want to do, Casey, you got to be around people that are doing it. Number one, to verify that that's something you want to do. Number two, make some connections so that once you're trained and qualified, doors open for you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So, all right, we did a lot of coaching right there. I just want to throw a fastball your way and let you hit it. You ready? Really quick. Don't even think. Just answer. If you could try one of those three things or anything else that you haven't told us tomorrow, just try it. Get paid really well and no risk of screwing it up. You're going to win in it. What would you try tomorrow?
Pediatrician.
That's what I thought. So go do your homework. What's it going to take? How long will it take to save up the money to go to school and no debt? It'll always be there. What is it that you want to do, Kaysen? So for you to decide. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. As you know, at Ramsey, we're always looking to protect our listeners from scummy companies, slick marketing, and money myths. I'm George Camel, host of The Fine Print, where I do the research for you to help you rise above the system that's designed to keep you broke and in debt so that you can become confident in your money choices. Check out The Fine Print wherever you listen to podcasts.